Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. Oh, do we still love them, boys? Do we still love them? This is the thing. They're really, really testing our mettle here. They really are the thing that we normally love most, the thing that is in our lives, a big part of our lives. They are stretching that love. They are testing that love dramatically at the moment. It's been a horrible few weeks. So it's our job to obviously try and analyse it and talk about it and try and sort of attribute some blame, which seems to be the main thing on social media at the moment in terms of like, how do we find ourselves in this situation? And then also we need to do the usual, check out the preview for the upcoming game on Sunday against Man U. So normally what we would do is basically analyse each game. And we talk about the Norwich game last week, the penalty shootout defeat. And then we'd obviously talk about the Burnley game. And then we would talk about last night's horror show in Lightspeak, but I don't really want to dredge ourselves through that again. I don't want to just make us remember all of those horrible, horrible memories. I mean, the penalty shootout was phenomenally bad. Like, it was just absolutely incredibly terrible. I can't remember anything like that in a long time. And then obviously last night was, obviously we're recording this on Wednesday. So Tuesday night was the defeat against Lightspeak, which was the culmination, I think, of the last few weeks. I don't think anyone really expected us to get something out of the game. Even the most positive of Spurs fans probably wouldn't have. But we did still go there. Lots of fans went there. If you did get over there, Matt from the show went over there. Big props to him. And Cam and James, who are big fans of the show, they were over there. So well done, guys. The singing was amazing. But, I mean, to be fair, I mean, it was to be expected. We're in a dire straits at the moment, considering the squad levels, considering the injuries that we have. So let's try and analyse it if we can. Let's try and work out why we're in this situation and who we really think to blame, basically. So I just read an Alistair Gold article that listed a few of the sort of the usual suspects, as it were, in this situation. Those being previous manager, obviously, Pochettino, Daniel Levy and Enoch, who seems to be massively on everyone's lips at the moment, and people are really, really going crazy for his departure, as it were, which I think is a little crazy, but still, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And then obviously we have the current manager, Jose Mourinho. Could he have done more with the current squad, even though it's completely decimated? And then the other reason was just bad luck. And I think if you look at the injuries this season, I think you can definitely see that's being a contributing factor. The factor being, though, the bad luck has meant that we haven't had the striking options available, but then they didn't go and try and buy a striker in the previous windows, and they haven't patched up that hole that we all knew and that we all saw. Even when Llorente signed, we all saw there was a striking backup needed, and they didn't buy it. And so when we did find ourselves in these situations, then we are really, really struggling. So, Lee, I'm going to come to you first. If you were to attribute blame out of those four factors that I just mentioned, percentage-wise, how would you do it?
So, you know, I didn't pass maths at school, just for the record.
It needs to be out of 100%. So give me the first few percentages and I will let you know. And welcome, Lee, by the way. And welcome, Kofi, by the way. Sorry, I didn't introduce you. I just went into a bit of a rant to stop myself from crying, which is good. It's fair enough. It's all therapy. Lee and Kofi are joining me today on the show. Kevin was going to come on, and also Matt, but I think they're still recovering from yesterday in Lightspeak. So Lee, so we have the factors being Pochettino, Levy, Jose Mourinho, and luck. Bad luck.
Do you know what? Actually, not being particularly great at maths and working it out very easily, I'm going 25% all round.
Oh, you...
I'll tell you exactly why. I just with Poch, something went wrong in the change room before the Champions League final, where he's just started to lose the dressing room a little bit, or there was falling out with players. Nothing's really become evident or become particularly public. Even the so-called kind of Jan and number 23 fallout, if you like, for media for media purposes. Nobody knows what went on in the dressing room, but somewhere along the line, Poch lost the dressing room a little bit. His style of football faded very, very quickly. Peak Poch era, there was a period of football there that was just, it was unbelievable to watch. There was a great tempo. We knocked it around unbelievably. And even that, you know, even in our best season, or not our best season, but in terms of reaching the Champions League final, that February, that football had gone. That football had kind of disappeared and finished. So something went wrong with Poch and the staff and the players, and it cost us. I think the injuries are very evident. There's no getting away from that. It's extremely unlucky, but that takes you on to the next 25%. When you don't replace a striker window after window after, you know, Tottenham Hotspur, the first Premier League club not to buy a player in the transfer window. It's not a record that I want to be. It's not what I want to be remembered for. We don't want to be remembered for that. We weren't even in a good position not to be signing a striker. You know, it was ridiculous. I'd rather we went and got a Championship striker. You know, somebody who was banging in 15, 20 goals in the Championship. And, you know, West Ham have gone and done it with Jared Bowen. I mean, he's got to make a quick return back to the Championship, I think. But they've gone and done it. And he's had a little pop at, you know, you could see him shooting. You could see him having go at goals. And he's confident. He's thriving in it. You look at Ighalo, people laughing at him going, oh, look at Tottenham trying to sign Ighalo. Look at, the fact of the matter is, he's a striker. He's played in the Premier League. He probably scored 10 goals a season for Watford with bang average service. You know, you've got our players providing a 10 times better service, but the geezer knows how to work the box. He knows how to work the penalty spot, the 6-yard box. He knows how to get tap-ins. So he would have scored goals for us. So, you know, there's 25% of that where you got to look at it and go, how many windows do you let go past before you just don't sign a striker of any kind of stature? It got a bit embarrassing towards the end. And when Llorente came, he got a bit of stick. But actually, we found a way to work with him. We found a way to play with him. And it worked for us. And we was very foolish not to keep him on for the sake of an extra couple of grand, you know, and another year's contract. The board, you know, I hear Enoch out, Levy out. What I will say about this, why I do look at some of the stats and some of the figures that go with it, I get it. I can't have that the board are playing football. The board don't play football. All right, they've made some crap decisions. They haven't provided as much money as, you know, we thought they may do. I always look at that and go, yeah, great, but that's a boardroom argument. That's not what's going on the pitch. We still have 25 players. We still have a youth team. And we still need a coach and a manager to come up with the team who are going to perform on the pitch. Levy ain't playing on the pitch. Joe Lewis ain't playing on the pitch. Nothing to do with them. What goes on the pitch is nothing to do with them.
So, I think though, what that is, and I think it's basically the argument of most Spurs fans that are that of the Levy out brigade, is that there obviously now is money coming in. And we know that there was a huge investment for the stadium. And the training ground is amazing. And everyone knows that. And that's something that everyone has talked about. But at the end of the day, there hasn't been that same kind of investment in the team. And even this week at the Tottenham Hotspur Trust event, he wasn't really sort of enlightening us. Or he wasn't even basically saying that there was going to be much available in the summer and that the Europa League budget would be different. You know, so he's not been investing in the squad as other teams have been to improve. Obviously, Liverpool had the sale of Coutinho, which sort of, you know, helped them along in their way. It was almost like having a bit of inheritance. You know, here's 142 million. But, you know, you sometimes need that to take you onto that next level. And also, if you look at what we had, we basically had an aging squad, which was going out of form and which was obviously having issues because the players were losing touch with the manager, they were losing touch with their own contract situation, and so they potentially wanted to go. So there was an element within the dressing room, maybe it was Rose, maybe it was Eriksen, maybe it was Van Jambertonga, whatever it was, that was there because of the fact they hadn't bought players. And so that situation that you just spoke about with Poch, how he sort of lost the dressing room and how he had issues there, that was obviously from the fact that there hasn't been reinvestment in the squad and the squad had stagnated. And now you look at Toby and look at Yang at their age, they're struggling. And so that surely has to be more blaming of the Enoch and of Daniel Levy than Pochettino. If you're looking at those two examples, Kofi, what do you think?
Well, I think bad luck shouldn't be blamed at all. I think all clubs are going to have that to some degree within the season. I really think it goes back at least a year or so to where Levy, for me, hasn't created a great environment for Pochettino. I think there were players that could have been sold earlier. Eriksen should have been sold a year earlier, but I'm not sure that Levy felt he was getting enough money for him. And there's a series of players that we've all seen in the various rumour mills and online that we were potentially signing, but then we wouldn't cross the line to get them. We wouldn't pay the extra whatever it was. And that extra 5 or 10 million, we're going to lose now if we're not in the Champions League. So, you know, it's a false economy trying to save 5 million on a player that could have scored you some goals or could have shored up the midfield or could have been a good fullback. So I think the rot was taking place at least a year ago. And as Lee says, from last February, we stopped winning in the league. You know, as we all know, the Champions League masked a lot of issues for us. We were very happy with those victories that we had, and maybe we took our eye off the league and what was really going on at the club. I think Poch, you know, it pains me to say it because I love the guy, but I think he's to blame to some degree. Certainly in February, we played Burnley away and lost. And from then on, it felt the season had fallen away. And I do remember at the end of the game, he was arguing with the ref. And I hadn't really seen that before. He was red in the face, really angry at the officials. And it's almost from that period, he wasn't the same. He wasn't the same sort of calm, even-tempered guy that took things in his stride. Jose, I think, is to blame to some degree. I think all too often he blames everyone else, doesn't look at himself. And I know from years ago when he was a special one, the press loved it because they were saying, oh, he takes the pressure away from his players and puts the blame somewhere else. But actually, this week we saw one of the players stand up. You know, Dele, people have looked at him negatively for one or two reasons in the past year or so, but he stood up and he said, you know, confidence is low. We're to blame. We're not playing in the way that we should be. And we can't say that it's because this player or that player is missing that we're not winning games. And then Jose comes out and says, oh, well, any team in the world wouldn't be able to play with these injuries. And he said previously, well, if you join a club halfway through the season, what can you expect? Well, that is what you've done, and that's what you knew you were walking into. So if you are special, if you are world class, sort it out. Don't leave the same configuration on the pitch when things aren't going well. Change it. You know, he's known as the manager that after 20 minutes would put two players on and change the whole formation of the team. Well, I don't see that at all. You know, what I see is putting on an 18-year-old who I don't feel would feel any pressure from the crowd in the 92nd minute. And that's no use to anyone. So as much as he's our new manager, I think Mourinho is to blame for a certain percentage for the situation that we're in. Luck, you know, it goes both ways. You have some, you lose some, but that's not the reason we're in our position.
No, I think it is a contributing factor in the fact that obviously it's highlighted the lack of spending and it's reinforced that message to fans that we should have done something. And obviously, you know, to lose your two main forward men is obviously bad luck. And then obviously to lose Sissoko was key. But then there's been many, many other injuries that have this season. I can't remember a season that we've had this many. And I don't think we've had three really, really some of our best players out at the same time that I can remember. Maybe we have, but they're definitely not as influential as I think, as, you know, like you know, Kane and Son and even Sissoko towards the end, recently of his last, you know, season or so, has become one of our most important players. So you're talking about our three most important players, arguably, out of the team. And so that is obviously, you know, going to be a big factor. However, there's still enough good players in that squad and in that team to be competing better than they are. And, you know, it's also defensively as well. I mean, you know, we talk about not buying a striker, but, you know, not buying a striker is not going to help us when we're conceding the goals that we have. Like, even if we did have more of a front man up front, even if we did have an Ighalo, that's not going to mean that the Aurier isn't going to, like, do that header that he did last night, or Lloris is not going to flap about like an absolute mare in goal. Do you know what I mean? That's down to us. That's down to our players, and that's down to us defensively. So I don't think just not spending money on a striker is one of the main reasons in that respect.
I think, you know, there's obviously a number of issues, and I agree wholeheartedly with Lee in that, you know, being highlighted as the club that didn't make any purchases in two transfer windows, it's outrageous. And actually, Harry Kane's injuries, I don't think, are simply down to bad luck. I think the guy's been running to the ground. Mm. You know, if there was another striker in the team, he wouldn't have had to play 90 minutes every few days, and maybe wouldn't have the stresses in his muscles that have caused him to tear his hamstring. You know, we could all see it. You know, it's for England, for Tottenham, he's got to play. He's recovering. He's got to play. Let's push him out there. If we had another striker, you know, the clubs that we're competing with have got three or four strikers. You know, we're not talking about, oh, let's have two strikers and then we're all right. Actually, over the years, we should have got ourselves into a position where we've got three or four. So I think that's part of an issue. And then, you know, sticking on the striker aspect, actually, if we could put the ball up the park and have someone who was a target man that could hold the ball up, then it's not coming straight back to the defence when they're not quite in position, when they're not quite ready. And then they wouldn't have to scrap around and battle and maybe lose the ball. You know, your striker is your first line of defence. If he's got the ball, he's holding people off and playing it back into the midfielders, the ball isn't coming straight back to us. So I think, I'm not saying the striker is the saviour of everything, but I think it is the root of some of our issues.
Mm. Yeah, I agree, and you're right, Noel, in terms of pointing out the defence as well. But like, as Kofi touched on there, and we've spoken about it before, I don't care if the substitute striker's 16, 17, I don't care if he's 37, 38. We've been bossing games, or we've been in positions in games in the last few years, probably not so much this season, where we've had a chance to rest Harry. We've had a chance to just take him off with 10 minutes to go. And we leave him on, and it is stress. It is a build-up. And what I will say is, when Mourinho came in, the style of football that he introduced and changed, that we didn't seem to get or understand. The midfield certainly didn't get it. Just before Harry got injured, he was doing doggies like nobody's business. Harry's running back to the penalty spot on the edge of the 18-yard box and making tackles down by the corner flag to try and keep us in games, to try and win us a point, to try and get the ball back up the pitch. And it all builds up. And again, that's just because we just don't rest him when we had a chance to rest him. But you do look at the defence, and we've got big issues there. And it's not free at the back. You know, it's
but
not.
I think he's playing three at the back because he's worried about Aurier at right back, and he was worried about Cesc at left back.
Well, let me put this to you then. It's not going to get any better. They've all had a little go. We've shuffled them around, right? Aurier's not delivering crosses like some of our fans think he is. I'd love to see his actual percentage. And he can't defend, okay? Lucas can play on the wing and can put a cross in, all right? So you go four at the back regardless. And you guess who your right back isn't? You know, it's not Serge, okay? We've paid 25 million for Serge, and he's a captain of his country, and Jose's bought into this. This is the only reason this guy can be playing, because he's a senior player. Tanganga's played right back, and he's better than him. I've seen enough of him to go he's better than him. Right? So you put him at right back and you share the others out. Whether you put Jan at left back and go Toby and Sanchez in the middle is your call. Or do you play Davis as a flat left back in a four? That's your call. But at the moment, all that shape is doing is absolutely killing players. Last night, Sessegnon had another game. The last time he played, he was just chucked in, I think, is the Norwich game. Hadn't played since the Bayern Munich game or so. He just gets chucked in. He's 19. He's come from an injury as well, and they're just chucking him in. And he's playing in a team where it's pretty much every man for themselves. You know, somebody said last night, should have gone with a flat four. And it should have been Jan playing left back and Sessegnon just in front of him, with Jan just talking to him.
But then Sanchez was injured. So who would you have played as centre back? Because then Aurier would have had to play right back. So we didn't have the manpower.
Aurier would have had to play right back, wouldn't he? He'd have had to play right back last night. So it wouldn't have made a difference. What I'm saying is, if you play a back four, you give yourself a better chance of building a certain foundation, and you give yourself five players in the middle where you can work with a little bit better and have a bit more of an attacking threat with a bit more of an attacking purpose and a bit more of an attacking understanding of how to get the ball in the box and when to deliver the ball in the box. Sessegnon is terrified of Jose. I watched that kid play at Fulham. My friend's he's a season ticket holder at Fulham. And people are already slating him and he's 19. You know, and then we've got Jose going, I don't want to destroy Parrott. He's only just turned 18. I won't. But it's all right to destroy a 19-year-old. And then bring him to Europe, where we're already out, by the way, and don't put him on at all. But you put his mate on, who hasn't even played for the first team, Malachi Walcott. He gets to go and play for 6 minutes at the end. Just mugging him off. He's mugging him off. So Jose's got a lot. You know, his 25% is a good 25%. Because he keeps doing the same thing. He keeps playing that five. He keeps playing that formation. It's not working. Give me four. Give me a five across the middle. And give me the young kid up front. Because we're at a stage of the season now where you play the young lad up front. And the Spurs fans will get behind him. Because they know our current situation. We've got 9 games left. And we need to let him give us half a game every game for the next 10. That's all I want. And let him learn. We're not going to get on his back, are we?
It was ridiculous that they didn't bring him on yesterday. I just didn't understand it because, you know, the players that we have on there were absolutely knackered. You could tell. It was just the perfect opportunity to play him. I don't understand why he's on the bench if he's not going to come bring him on for a game like that. He does seem to make sometimes some very, very strange substitutions. So, okay, all right. We're going to have a little... I need to have a breather. I need to wipe my eyes. And we're going to come back and we'll discuss the squad for next season and for our thoughts for the coming season ahead, the rest of the season, and our predictions of what's going to happen. Back in a second.
Just got to check my bank.
So it's time to talk about our predictions for the rest of the season. Yeah. So I know this is going to be a really happy time for us. So I want to just talk about, you know, where we think we're going to end up, how we think the season's going to go, what our expectations should be, and what you'd be happy with. We sort of like got a bit of a subplot going on with the whole coronavirus thing, because it seems that there might not even be a league in a couple of weeks' time. The way Italy's going, Italy's talking about basically freezing the games as they are. They're playing behind closed doors as it is, but they're talking about ending the league in a couple of weeks, potentially having some playoffs if there's anything to be decided. So it sounds crazy that we're even talking about that, but that seems to be the case. So we might not even have a full season, but if we did have a full season, if we did play the remaining games that we had are due to play, which are not easy, to be fair, our next few fixtures are not easy, where do we think we'd end up? What's our predictions for our league position, guys? Because there's nothing else to play for at the moment, just to remind you. So league positions, Kofi, where are we going to end up?
Unfortunately, I think we're probably going to end up seventh.
Ooh.
And I don't say that lightly at all, but I can't see where we're getting wins from. You know, we're not going to... I can't see us scoring the goals. I can't see us keeping clean sheets, which makes it really tough. You know, I think, you know, we've talked about luck earlier on. we might get a bit of luck and scrape some results. But from what I've seen lately, it's just not looking pretty at all.
Well, you say that, and if you can't see us getting a win from anywhere, then I think we could even finish as low as ninth. Because Sheffield United have got a game in hand of us, and they don't look like they're conceding many goals at home, when we look like we're shipping a shedload each week. We've got the Scumbags, obviously they've got a game in hand of us, even though that was meant to be the Man City game. And obviously Wolves are doing well, even though they still have their Europa League campaign. So Man United are playing okay at the moment, and Chelsea and Leicester, I think, are there. They're going to stay there. So, you know, what do you think, Lee? I reckon we might even be down in ninth. How ridiculous is that? How amazingly crazy and horrible and sad and depressing, and why am I even bringing it up and laughing about it? Maybe it's because I don't really want to think about it. Maybe it's because I don't believe it's a reality. But it could be a reality that we finish in ninth place. Is that a reality to you, Lee?
It is a reality. Like you say, when you look at it, I mean, just a quick glance at the games, and given our current position, I could see us picking up 15 more points.
Yeah.
So I see us finishing about 55, 56. Now, Leicester are already on 53 in third place.
We're going to struggle to get third. I mean, that's fair enough.
Well, absolutely. Just a little bit out of our reach, funnily
good.
Enough.
Good. I like it, though. I like where you're aiming, even though yeah. If it's a little misguided and far-fetched. It's good, though. It's good that you still have those, you know.
I was only joking about the maths earlier. My maths is actually quite good. So when it I'm is, looking at that...
It is on point.
I think if you're asking what would we accept, what would we be happy with, I'd be... At this point, I'd be happy with sixth. I think it would save, you know, a lot of embarrassment. You can't take nothing away from Leicester. You can't take nothing away from Wolves. You can't take nothing away from Sheffield United. They've turned up. You know, they've turned up and they've done what they wanted. And that's the other thing. When we're talking about squads, you know, you do look at those. You do look at some of those players in those and go, well, I wouldn't have him, wouldn't sign him.
Absolutely. You know, Billy Sharp. I mean, come on.
But...
Fleck. These players are just crazy. Like,
It is ridiculous. But it shows you look at Sheffield United, it shows you what a decent goalkeeper, an informed goalkeeper can do for you. You know, how it eliminates the errors and the mistakes and saves you a couple of goals a game. You look at somebody like, you know, Billy Sharp and his scruffy looking homeless strike partner, McBurney. Is that the fella?
Yeah.
That's the boy.
Yeah, you look at somebody like him, unorthodox, ain't got a clue, but from corner flag to corner flag for you, you know, he will run with his socks down like bloody throwback to Steve Claridge days and he'll work hard for you. And that's what they're dealing with. So when we're looking around at our players, you've got to say there's a problem there and people ain't turning up. Because we've got these guys that looking at you're going championship players at best, but hang on a minute, look what their manager's done, a very unfashionable manager. You know, look what he's put together.
But I think also it's a different work ethic in the Championship, isn't it? And they've come from that and they've promoted from that. And so they've had that instilled in their team. And so it makes much more sense to see that. And their coach is great. Their coach is brilliant. I love his coach. I love their coach. I think he's class.
I don't mean that in a disrespectful way at all. But what I'm saying is when you talk about a work ethic, you know, you want to be at the top of your game and you come into the Premier League, you know, and if we start on Tanguba, on Dembele, if we start on him, you want to talk about work ethic. You know, like them guys are coming in and they're in it for, they're what, 15, 20 grand a week. You know, every team that comes up from that league, they have to work for it. They play their 44 games a season and more, you know, just to get there. So I don't want to hear about work ethic when you're playing in the Premier League, you know. And if our players haven't got a work ethic, but it does look apparent. You see Harry Winks, who comes in for a lot of stick. His work ethic is unbelievable, and that's probably him knowing the game, the Premier League, the English football. He will run and run and run. Maybe sometimes not much direction, and that's probably what gets him a bit of stick. But that's
I think also he's passionate about the club as well. He's a proper Tottenham fan. You know, well, you can tell when he celebrates a goal, it's like us celebrating a goal. It's like limbs, you know, he's like that. And so, you know, that passion, that energy and that enthusiasm comes from being a proper Tottenham fan and being, you know, this is important to him. So you're not going to get that with your, you know, your players that aren't from here or aren't, you know, from the background with the club. So, and in terms of the, okay, so if we, so we're saying that we're going to, like, so you think seventh and sixth, okay, and I think it could be lower, but anyway, I honestly, who knows? It's just crazy at the moment. It's absolutely crazy. So let's talk about sort of like the beginning of next season then. Let's have a bit of a forecast. And firstly, let's talk about the manager. If it was up to you to have any manager that we could have, who would you have as our coach at the beginning of next season, Kofi?
If it was up to me, Potch would still be at the club.
Would you bring him back? Because you've got the option to. So Levy's sacked Jose, or they've gone their separate ways at the end of this season, and so you've got carte blanche as to who you're going to get, and every coach is available in the world. Who'd you go for?
You see, we've just been talking about passion for the club, and I think Potch has that. Pep, I think, is a different kind of manager. You know, he's a great manager, but he's a manager that wants the best players. Klopp is not leaving. And I know you're talking about a hypothetical.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I get that, yeah, I get that.
And it's a difficult one, because at the minute, I don't really see who out there is available that could come to the club. At the same time, you know, it's this classic argument of, I'm not so sure about the current manager. Okay, who do you want in? And actually, I'm not sure who there is apart from Potch at the moment.
Well, when Potch was sacked, I did mention Nuno from Wolves. And I think he is proving to be a very, very good coach. My issue was with him is that he was very similar to Potch in terms of he hadn't won a trophy. He wasn't that experienced. And so were we just getting the same again? And I think that was one of the reasons why Levy did go for Mourinho, and that he was a serial winner and he has won trophies and he would command some respect in that changing room, which Pochettino had obviously lost. So I can see the reasons for the appointment. I just don't think Mourinho has it in him anymore to react tactically and to even just get the players knowing what they're doing properly and having roles. And it just seems so flat. And like against average teams, we're making them look really, really good. And we have done that in the past. Don't get me wrong. You know, we've been played off the park sometimes, but like Wolves and even Norwich at home, where we're so negative and we're so lacking ideas. And again, it comes down to the lack of striker, focal option, blah, blah, blah. But still, that also comes down to coaching. That comes down to you sending them on the pitch and saying, this is what we're going to do. We're not just going to go side to side, winks to Alderweireld, and then when we get a little bit of space, we're going to send it out to Aurier, who's going to be a bit of space, and then he's going to fit the first man, or vice versa. Like, that's not tactics. I'm sorry, that's not tactics. And if that's what Jose's telling them to do, then that's even worse. So something's going on there. Something's happening because they're not playing as they should be. Maybe it's confidence. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but something's wrong where they are just not creating chances like they should be in a football match. They're not making those runs. They're not passing it quick enough. And then when that happens, you have to look at the coach. Who else are you going to look at? You know, obviously the players on the pitch, but surely, you know, they're being told, and even when they're going to the dressing room, they're being told, you're not passing it quick enough. You're not doing this, you're not doing that. And, you know, he's quick to make substitutions. He's quick to change the personnel and sometimes change the formation. But I just don't know tactically if he's telling him enough. And we were really excited about having this young coach on board. But I just, again, I don't seem to have seen anything from him in terms of any like real improvement tactically. And so I don't know. So Lee, who would be your manager at the beginning of that season if you could choose one?
Just before I do say that, me and Kofi were just having a chat. And I was saying earlier with the young coach, who's, you know, is kind of up and coming. He's made some great headlines over in France as well. But could you imagine as a young coach in one of your first real jobs up in the Premier League, sitting under Jose, and you're trying to get Jose to buy into your, you know, I've come up with this plan, Jose. Gaffer, let's try this. Let's go with this formation. Jose's going to look at you and go, yeah, I like that, son. I like that. But probably not the game for it. Wait, we'll think about it next week. There's not a chance that Jose's actually listening to him. And when you look at the way we play, and I've watched their body language, actually, because the camera spends so much time on Jose now. When they got the first couple of wins and when we got those first couple of goals, they were up, they were bouncing chest to chest, they were hugging each other. And now they're both sitting there. And if you look at the coach, who's looking one way, and Jose's probably normally just scowling at the referee, I think this geezer's asking himself, what am I doing here?
But they are deflated, though. But he's deflated in his press conferences. He's massively deflated. He sounds depressed. He sounds like, you know, mates of mine that I call up and that, you know, they've just been dumped, or, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, what, anyone else would be the same if we had these same players out, you know, and it's just like, we're just going to make it to the end of the season. It's just like,
I don't see nothing different. This is what I'm saying to you. I've seen us play back-to-back games with this five-man formation at the back that allows Serge to play. And that's all it is doing. It allows Serge to play. There's no need. It's not working, right? We're letting in goals. And, take away Dele's penalty. And I kid you not, I think I've said it on a Facebook. Can you recall the last shot in anger in a match? Can you recall the last shot in anger in a match? Can you recall the last time we've actually...
I think Aurier, and then it went into like Rosette. I almost caught it in row 68.
It's probably a cross. But when was the last time we've gone and sat down and watched the game and we've actually peppered the other team's goal?
It's a long, long time.
And that's a long time. And that's my problem. It's gone. It's dated. He's not listening to the new coach, because I don't think any coach worth his salt would come up with that as a formation in the Premier League. He hasn't sat there in France, that lad, and gone, right, I'm going Premier League with Jose, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with five at the back, and I'm going to... That's not him. So that's all Jose's doing. But getting back to your question, I'm with you. I like Nuno. I think I like his work. I like what he's done in Europe. I like what he's done in the Premier League. I like what he's done with some of these average players and turned them into half-decent players. And I like what he's done with these half-decent players and turned them into, you know, quality. Adama Traore couldn't cross the road, mate. Couldn't cross the road when he got there. I watched him play at Borough, and he'd go flying off down the line, and he just put the ball in, so Serge style. He'll go into a row Z. Constantly, there was not. You look at him now, and I'm not saying he's a world beater by any means, but he's somebody you want in your team. The way Nuno's played with him in terms of moving him around, put him as a centre forward one game last season, had him as the number 10, just very clever. You can see a lot goes on with his coaching team and himself. So,
they're well drilled. You could tell when they played against us, they're well drilled. They didn't leave us much space, and then when they broke, they just absolutely flew, and it was like, yeah, they're a solid team. Okay, fine. So now it comes to questions about squad. Let's talk about the squad. Let's go to our squad. I know you guys are having a great show today. I love your faces as well. This is what I like about this. You guys who are listening, you can't actually see their faces because we do it via Skype, but they are so happy when I say stuff like this. Let's talk about the squad. Okay, so let's go through the squad. And let's talk about who we want to keep and who we want to chuck. And it's going to be quite quick. And we're not going to, I mean, if you want to say something about why that player should stay or go, then more than welcome. But it's not a massively long discussion. I mean, topic on the table, which we haven't even discussed, was Lloris's performance against Leipzig, which was absolutely shocking. And he could definitely, I think, be at fault for the two first goals. Obviously, Aurier's header didn't help. But then neither did his positioning. So, if we say we're going to get rid of him, that means we're going to obviously have to try and get another one in. But if we're talking about a first team at the beginning of next season, would he be in it if you had your way, Lee? And if not, if you want him to go, who is an adequate replacement? I quite like the guy from Bournemouth. Does anyone else like him? I think he's all right.
I do recall you on about... can't remember his name.
Ramsdale.
Yeah, is it Aaron? Aaron Ramsdale?
I don't know. Okay.
Hugo's done for me. I think it's been a great run, but I think he's done for me. So, yeah. But where do you go? Where do you, you know, where do you look around for a quality keeper now? You know, you've got the young lad at Sheffield United, but he belongs to Man United. You know, so maybe De Gea. Do you reckon he'll be up for it?
Okay, I wanted serious answers. Come on.
Okay. No, I'm not sure who to replace him with, but if you're asking me yes or no, is do we need a new keeper to replace Hugo? Yeah, we do.
Okay, fine. So that means that Gazzaniga is also out, and we're not going to talk about Butterfingers for him.
Gaz would stay as number two for me. I think Gazza knows he's a number two.
Okay. Gazza, all right, okay. Okay, Kofi, do you agree with that?
I think Hugo stays for me. I think, interestingly, last night, we weren't closing down the ball. You know, the first shot actually shouldn't have come in. You know, we could see what was happening. That ball was always going to be passed back to the edge of the area. Where was Lamella? Lamella was stretching to get there, but actually didn't track the man into the box. So you can blame the goalkeeper, but there's got to be a period of play that gets the ball into a position where someone's going to shoot.
Yeah, obviously, so, but then he's still, you know, the goalkeeper's job is to save the shots, you know, and he's not doing that. Like, both of those goals could and should have been saved. So, you know, and I completely agree, it's poor defending to give them those chances, but, you know, it was well within his grasp to hit that shot. He just flapped at it, and his hand wasn't strong enough, and he's meant to be a keeper.
They were only chances. You can't say any top draw goalkeeper like that shouldn't have stopped. He should have stopped.
Exactly. Okay, cool. All right. So then let's move on to defence. So let's just talk about, we'll go through the squad numbers. So, I mean, Alderweireld is going to be there, and I'm assuming you want him to be there. Vertonghen, what are your thoughts?
I'll let Kofi go if you want.
All right, Kofi. Guys, he's hiding again. Okay, let's just say yes or no. Let's just make it quick. Yes or no?
Stay. Yes.
Stay? Okay, cool. Gone. Sanchez? He's gone for you. Yeah, gone for you. Okay. I forgot to ask you. Sorry. For me, I think... I think one more season, if we offer it, but he probably doesn't want that. But I think one more season as a backup.
Who, Jan?
Yeah.
I think he's going to go and follow Eriksen.
He might well do.
He misses his season, so I think he's going to go and join him, isn't he?
Sanchez, I'm assuming he's going to stay. I mean, you're not his biggest fan.
Yeah, I would cash in, mate. I know that's not everybody's shout, but I would cash in. He's not progressed for me. He's not progressed. I don't think he gets any better than what we've seen.
I mean, did anyone know who this Malachi Walcott was the other day? Not me. but he's another young centre-back. Okay, so one thinks he should go, one thinks he should stay. I agree, actually. If we could cash in on him, I think the guys in front of me in the South Stand were raving about Sanchez and saying he's the best player of his age group in that position in the league, which I was quite surprised at, seeing as he really struggles when he's got the ball at his feet. But that seems to be, you know, people's different opinion. Foyt, what were we saying about Foyt? Out the door?
Yeah, he can go.
Yeah, see you later. Foyt.
Bye, Foyty. Okay, cool. All right. Fair enough. So then we got a couple more to talk about defensively. So then we got, oh God, I'm not even going to mention him because I'm assuming you both want Serge Aurier to go.
Absolutely. Okay. I think we look to Norwich for fullbacks and wingbacks.
Solid. Okay, we're going to go for him. Right. So then midfield, are we talking about, so obviously we've got the mainstayers. So I wouldn't have thought that you would get rid of Winks or Skip.
No, Skip would have to go alone for me.
Okay.
I see his potential, but I think for him to reach a level where we would need to call on him on a regular basis, he needs a season under his belt playing first team.
I thought he looked okay, to be fair. I didn't think he had a terrible game against Burnley, but obviously they weren't happy with the way him and Ndombele were working, but I think he offers a little bit more than Winks at times. I think he's definitely stronger. He definitely puts a tackle in. He's not afraid to put a tackle in, but his passing maybe not as strong. But he's forward thinking. He'll get a lot better. And Jose seems to like him a lot.
Yeah, I think they're very different players. I think Skip will get the ball back and play it 5 yards into someone, whereas
I've seen him put some tasty through balls in there. I think he's better than you think in that respect. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets a bit of a run in the team. Okay, I forgot about Ben Davies at left back, seeing as we don't have any others. I'm assuming we've got to keep him.
Solid, puts in a performance.
Solid. Okay, so Eric Dier?
I'd keep him.
Keep him, okay, for a centre-back role. That seems to be where he likes to play now.
As pointed out there, in that centre-back role as well.
Okay. Tanganga, obviously we're big fans of, we want him to stay, I know that for a fact. Fernandez, I've been sort of half impressed with, apart from that shocking penalty that I'm trying to put out of my mind, so I'd definitely like to see more of him. Anyone else sort of from the main squad in terms of like Ndombele, in terms of Moura, that you think shouldn't be there? Sessegnon, Ali, Lo Celso and Sissoko are going to be the mainstays for me next season. I hope our team is going to be built around them too in the centre. I think they're going to be amazing. Lamella?
On that midfield, I would keep... There's nobody in that midfield that I really feel the need to get rid of.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really bizarre given our season, but I think if we had a stronger defence and we have forward options, there's enough bodies in that midfield for them to rotate properly and get their breathers in, and there'll be enough games for a certain... There'll be games for a certain player, and there'll be a game for this guy, and there'll be a game for that guy. And there's a good age amongst them. They're not actually particular. Sissoko's probably the oldest, isn't he? Out of all of our midfielders.
Yeah.
And I think as we move forward, and I know we touched on this conversation in our WhatsApp group, I mean, I think Lo Celso is just going to be amazing. I'm excited about watching Lo Celso stringing passes through to Harry Kane and with Sonny. That's what I'm looking forward to. I think it's going to be amazing. I think there's going to be goals there for fun, and everyone will forget about number 23. It'll be the new kid in town. Honestly, I love everything about him that I've seen so far, and it's a shame that we're going through the mire the way we are, because he's doing bits and he deserves a bit more. He deserves a bit more of a highlight.
Dear me. I can never say that we're going to lose.
No, neither can I.
We're not going to lose. Okay, it's time for the preview section now. That's a good intro, you guys. I like that. That opened with Kofi saying, dear me. Brilliant. Sign of the times. So, preview time. Man United coming to town, or so we think. Obviously, the world is upside down at the moment. We're not really sure what's going to happen. But at the moment, as things stand, Man United are coming to town on Sunday. Should be a good game. They're playing quite well. We're playing football, sort of. No, I don't know. Okay, I don't want to dwell on it too much because, you know, I like the positive end on that last segment. The fact we're talking about the Chelsea, and it was like, you know, that he is definitely something to look forward to. And Tanganga as well is someone to look forward to. Like, those have been the only positives for me this season, which is terrible. But they really, really have. So, I'm keen to see definitely more of them. And I think Lo Celso and Sissoko in the middle would be incredible together. So, fingers crossed, they both come back fighting fit and enjoy the rest of the season and next season. So, Man United, as I said, playing quite well. They had a good 2-0 victory against their Manchester rivals on Sunday. So, they're in form. Do we think we have enough to get a vital 3 points on the board to move us up to eighth or wherever it's going to be? Kofi, you said you can never predict us that we're going to lose. And I don't think we ever have on this show. So that's good in terms of we do try and keep it positive. But actually, no, I predicted 3-1 for Leipzig. Sorry. Actually, did I say that on camera? Fuck, I can't remember. I think I might have said 1-1. No, did I say 3-1? Anyway, it doesn't matter. We lost. Move on. So, Kofi, what's your prediction for Sunday?
I think Ole's kind of turned a corner. I think the City win is kind of getting him into a position where he's going to be their manager next season, which I think is quite interesting. I think the players are playing for him. They're going to score. They're going to score. So, I'm going for a 2-2.
Okie dokie. I mean... There's going to be goals, isn't there? But I just, yeah.
Where do you see two goals coming from?
We got a penalty last week.
That is true, actually. We could get a penalty quite easily. But then who's going to take it? And who's going to, you know, De Gea is a good keeper. We haven't even touched on the Bergwijn injury, which is just another, you know, absolute ridiculous piece of luck. And I think that's even just, you know, confounded what we were saying before about the bad luck with injuries at the moment, because he was our main threat almost, or one of our main threats. He was looking lively when he got the ball and he was making things happen. And it was frustrating, obviously, to hear that he may even be out for the rest of the season. So it's terrible news. It was great to see Harry back in training, obviously still a few weeks away from playing. And we definitely don't want him to rush him back, but it was really, really good to see him kicking the ball. So, Lee, what are we thinking for Sunday? You can predict a defeat if you want. Don't feel like you can't do it. You know, we're in a rut. We're obviously this decimated squad. But you think that the toxic atmosphere that's probably going to be created in the stadium, as Mickey Hazard was talking about on Twitter the other day, might have a detrimental effect on the team. What do we think was going to happen?
We do have to be careful with that. We do have to be careful of that. And I think for the fans as well, and we've spoken about it on various things before. And but I know people get upset and I know people want Levy out and Enoch out, but we've got to rise above that as a fan base. We've got to keep that outside of the stadium. If that's what you choose to do, if you want to sit, you want to stand down Tottenham High Road, or you want to stand outside by Seven Sisters and stick your banners up and shout, Levy out, and crack on, do it. You know, you're entitled to your opinion and that's your right, but don't bring it inside the stadium. I see people going, oh, we need to stand up and start an Enoch out chant. Don't do that. If you do that next to me, you're probably going to get my bottle of Coke on your head. Like, don't do that, because we're not that fan base. So don't let that sneak in. So do it by outside, by all means. Crack on down by, you know, the longest bar in European football. Make all your noise down there. I'm sure if you shout loud enough, they can hear you in their posh rooms upstairs. But don't bring it out in front of the players. That's all I would say about it.
It just makes the club look stupid, I think, as well. Like, as us as fans, you know, whenever you see those banners, it's just like, come on. You know, it's like, when does that's never happened where like a club suddenly gone, oh, right, yeah, fair enough, you're right, actually, because you just, you know, spent 45 minutes writing that with paint at home and you brought him, you know, under your jacket. I understand now. And yeah, I think you're right. And we're going to go. It's not going to happen. And I get this frustration. We're frustrated as fans. You know what I mean? You know, but as we just discussed on the show, like, there are reasons for that. And Levy is not the sole reason for that. He's definitely part of it. I completely agree for their frustrations. He could have definitely signed the players. And we've already discussed it, you know. But that doesn't mean that he's the be-all and end-all of the reasons why we're in this rut. And getting rid of him would definitely not be the answer, in my opinion. So I think it's a real tough one, but it's frustrating. I mean, even in the Norwich game towards the end, it was horrible to watch, but it was almost like, you know, we were almost accepting of it. It wasn't like, there was maybe a couple of boos, but it wasn't crazy, you know. And I think maybe because we as fans are, you know, reasonably, hopefully, intelligently, he says intelligently, can't even say it, but you know, we got football brains, you know what I mean? We're not a terrible, terrible, awful fan base, I don't think, in terms of, like, you know, we don't normally go crazy on our own players, we don't normally go crazy on our managers, so, you know, we're not like that as fans, and I think that's a good thing. And we know, obviously, that our squad is absolutely decimated. We can see that from the players on the bench when you got Malachi Walcott coming on. Like, you know, I never even heard of him. So when you know you've got someone coming on like that and you don't have an experienced striker, you're in trouble. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's not, you know, too much to be
said. Generally, there's a degree of balance, because we all see it, we all feel it when we go to the game, or if you watch the game on the TV. The ground is amazing. And we know from what we've heard and what players say, not just our players, but international teams, when they stay there, the training facilities are amazing as well. And, you know, as much as you may dislike the negotiation tactics or the way Levy is in the transfer market, actually, he steered the ship to enable us to have those facilities. Now, as a team, as a squad, as a club, we need to play the football that is right for those facilities, you know, that they warrant. That's not all down to Levy. You know, he's not my favourite person. I'm not always going to say that he's brilliant, but he's given us some absolutely amazing facilities.
He has.
I was just about to say, like, that apart and just kind of bringing it back to where we are. I think just because it's United and I think because Jose is going to do his best to pump them up, I'm going to go for a 1-1.
Okay.
And what I would say, and the last thing I'll say about it is because his five at the back just does my nut in. I just want to see the lads go down with a bit of fight. I want to see them go down. If they're going to go down, I want to see them go down with a bit of passion. I want to see them go down with a bit of fight. And it needs to be led by him. And I don't want this seven. He's too young. United have got Greenwood. Absolutely. Ollie's shook 90 minutes out of him for about 5 weeks in a row, mate. You know, and nobody's talking about him. All I'm saying is give the kid a run out. We'll stay off his back. He's our player. He's one of our own. We want to look after him. Let him play and go down fighting. You know, go down with a 4-4-2, whether it's Ali and Parrott up front or one other. Just give us something. Show us that you're listening. Show us that you're not just settling for next season and July the 1st. That's all I'm asking.
Why have you stood up? Where are you going? It's like that's the end of your prediction. So you literally
I'm out. I'll see you later.
I've never seen this before. That's so
I'm all the way up the high road now. Got me leave you out, man.
Classic. You started standing up towards the end of that speech. That was absolutely brilliant. I was like, where are you going? Don't go to the toilet with me. I did not want to see that. All right, 1-1. I'm going to go 2-1. Once again, we're going to win. We're going to win 2-1. The atmosphere is going to be good. It's going to be a good Sunday. And we're going to win 2-1. So what's everyone moaning about? It's fantastic. What a win we're going to have. And we're going to be up in like seventh. Yeah, so peppering for sixth. So just chill, Winston's, all right? Everything's going to be fine. Right, okay, we need to end that one. God, that was a long show. Apologies for the length. Not intentional, but just wanted to try and hopefully just see what's going on in people's heads. And I hope you guys enjoyed it at home. Once again, thank you to Kofi and thank you to Lee. My name's Noel Valbon, and hopefully we'll see you again, or you'll be able to listen to us next week with some more positive news. So fingers crossed. 3 points on Saturday, please, team. And once again, everybody, we really need it. Come on, you Spurs.